Hi-ho, 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 hi-ho. Hi-ho, hi-ho. Hi-ho, hi-ho. Ohio. What the heck? Hello once again and welcome back to the Brothers Movie Factory. And if you're listening to this, you are listening to a little snippet of history, film history from the 1930s. Yes, we are doing the gauntlet, and that is where the brothers are going through the decades of cinema. We started in the 1900s. Going to the 1910s, 20s, 30s, all the way to good old modern day. But on this episode, I am taking just a little bit of your time to spit out some factoids, little snippets of history, particularly from 1930s cinema. Previously, I did history of cinema from 1910s and 20s. Here we are. So, 1930s... cinema. Oh, I should also preface, this is all off the top of my noodle. I like it to be organic, I guess. I don't want to just do an essay for you. This is just off my noodle. Yes, I did some research and just have random factoids in my head throughout my lifetime. But anywho, here we go. 1930s. One of the biggest things that happened in the world of cinema in the 1930s is how it became just like a common practice. It became an event. It became a thing to do. You know, it's like, it was like going to the baseball game. You know, it was like going to see a stage show or a dance recital. Going to the cinema to see a short or to see a feature length film became a regular thing, a common thing, and, a very popular pastime, as well as, you know, an event. Some of the most successful films of all time is still to this day came out during this time. And I believe I keep wanting to say the casualness. It wasn't that, you know, it was just a common thing to do was just go to the movies. Cost 25 cents to go see a picture. And, I think it was to that. Because of that, several of these movies have gone on to today with inflation to be the highest grossing films of all time. One of which, Gone with the Wind. We will talk about that shortly. Adjusting for inflation, it's the highest grossing film ever made. Isn't that wild to think? That came out in 1939. But, there was, in the early times of the day, they would show shorts, whether that was short cartoons or shorts like the Three Stooges or the Little Rascals in particular, and it would cost up to a dime to go and see. You also had your Nickelodeons and things like that where it would cost a nickel to see a short cartoon or something for the kids or someone just looking to pass some time. And usually there'd be a matinee, and that's where the real picture came on, and sometimes it would be accompanied by, upcoming features or a short. Once again, whether it was a cartoon, whether it was Little Rascals or Three Stooges or whatever it may be. During this time, you also got introduced to some iconic characters like Donald Duck, like Mickey Mouse, being in these shorts before the feature presentation. I found that to be fascinating to hear about, and how just the concept of it being a pastime. Now, it is something to do, of course, to go see a movie. Sometimes it is an event nowadays to go and see a movie, but it was much more common than it is nowadays. Nowadays, you know, of course, streaming and access to cable television has decreased that the, you can maybe help me and think of something to fill in. it's taken over that need to just be entertained and sit down and watch something in that way. It's less, I keep wanting to say avid. That's not the word. Oh, well, moving on. You know, during this time, I mentioned in the 1920s history, some film studios got really established. Well, there were three juggernauts in the 1930s in particular, the biggest of which was MGM, which is still around today, but not in the same capacity. I believe it's been bought out by Sony. But during this time, MGM was putting out some of those big movies I mentioned, like Gone with the Wind and The Wizard of Oz, for example. And other big studios were like Paramount. Paramount, I believe, was putting out more foreign films or more exotic films also. And then you had, what was the next big one? Warner Brothers. Warner Brothers was also a big one, but they were putting out, we'll say, lower budget films, and they were able to put out more quantity of films. And a big genre that they were putting out was the gangster film. Films like Public Enemy, starring James Cagney, I believe. Very popular for that time. Some of the biggest actors of this time were James Cagney, as I just mentioned. Clark Gable, of course. You also had some up-and-comers like Joan Crawford was coming into the limelight, and Katharine Hepburn as well. There was a rise in popularity for younger actors, for all, you know, walks of life to go to the theater to go see, but particularly for young people to gravitate towards, like Mickey Rooney, like Judy Garland, like Shirley Temple. excuse me. Those were some of the big stars of the time. It became a time of the movie star, and it became a time of the quality picture and the easy access to go and see these films. And something I appreciated of this time and wish really still existed today was a lot of theaters were being built in the 1930s, right? And they were building them like really classy, I was going to say theaters, of course they were, but I'm thinking of like concert theaters, you know, we're a Pittsburgh based podcast. We have Heinz Hall, gorgeous inside, gorgeous. They don't make buildings like that anymore. Very ornate, very detailed buildings and structures, all the way down to the molding on the walls and stuff, like just very beautiful, elegant, intricate. Nowadays, it's, you know what your movie theater looks like. Very, I don't want to say stark, but certainly acoustic friendly. Just panels, essentially, and curtains, perhaps. But yeah, a lot of elegance to these theaters that were being created throughout the 1930s. It became, you know, a visual feast in all aspects. I'm going to take this time to jump into some movies, some highlight movies to check out if you're new to the 1930s. Now, some of these films I'm going to go over are great, if you ask me. That's just my opinion. There are plenty more. There's going to be hundreds, of course, that I don't mention. And once again, this is just little history of cinema, just little factoids from the decades that I'm spitting into your ears. So take with it what you will, keep the knowledge in your back pocket, go seek out some of this stuff. So first and foremost, 1930s cinema, I want to highlight the Universal monster movies. Some of my favorites, I watch them year round. And particularly around October spooky season, I like to pop them in, of course. And we've covered a few of these Universal monster movies here on the Brothers Movie Factory. So go back in time and find those episodes, check them out to hear more factoids on some of these. But, you know, in 1931, you had the very first Universal monster movie, which was Dracula, starring Bela Lugosi. We've done a whole episode on this. It's one of our earlier ones. I believe it was like episode 8. But yeah, one of my favorite movies of all time. It's personally probably in my top 10. I believe I even mentioned that recently in our Nosferatu episode. But other great Universal monster movies that came out throughout the 30s, Frankenstein, of course, starring Boris Karloff. Can't beat that. Its sequels, Bride of Frankenstein and Son of Frankenstein, all came out in the 1930s. All great classic creature features. The Invisible Man came out in 1933. And, you know, we can look at it in today's eyes and see some of the special effects and think they're a little cheesy. But if you look at it through the eyes of what you were seeing in 1933, it is very impressive. And they developed new technologies and new methods of filmmaking to achieve some of these Invisible Man effects. So very cool there. And of course, you had The Mummy, also starring Boris Karloff, come out in the 1930s. Classic. You know, it's to this day being made by Universal, like Mummy movies, whether it's Boris Karloff or Lon Chaney Jr. in like the 40s and 50s, or Brendan Fraser in the 90s, or Tom Cruise in the 2010s. Mummy's kind of been put to rest for now because of that last one, but The Mummy will rise again, I'm sure. You know, another movie kind of staying in the horror genre that came out in the 1930s that we've covered here on the Brothers Movie Factory is M, the letter M. Yes, it came out in 1931. Great movie. 100% on Rotten Tomatoes, believe it or not. Very creepy. Very creepy, even still to this day. Has to do with a child predator and a town gathering together, kind of like to inflict martial law, I guess. And martial law or whatever. outlaw justice, as it goes. Great performances, eerie atmosphere. Check it out. Staying with horror. 1933, one of the most classic films of all time came out. King Kong. King Kong, the giant ape, taken from its native land and, you know, runs amok throughout New York City, climbs the Empire State Building, lady in hand. Classic movie. If you've never seen the 1933 one, please, please take the time to go and see it. It's streaming, I'm sure. Most people are familiar with the 2005 or 4 Peter Jackson King Kong. Also pretty great movie. Nowadays, there's the Monsterverse with Kong and Godzilla. There's also one from the 70s starring Jeff Bridges' man, where he climbs the World Trade Centers. World Trade Center. That one's okay. I just watched it recently. But that classic, that original, something special. Definitely check it out. You had Snow White and the Seven Dwarves come out in 1937. And that is special because not only is it Disney's first film, feature-length film, to be put out in theaters. It's also the first feature-length animated film to be put out in theaters. So it's very historically significant, that movie, still to this day, and a classic. And, you know, it's one of those movies you'd be hard-pressed to come by someone who hasn't seen it in their lives. They might claim they never have, but I'm sure they just don't remember. They probably have seen it before. But Snow White and the Seven Dwarves, Disney classic. I hum hi-ho all the time. Yeah, check it out if you haven't, but I know you have. One I added to this list as movies to check out, I personally, biasedly, whatever, added it to this list because I just watched it recently, and I really enjoyed it. and it's part of a series, but the series started here in the 1930s. It's called The Thin Man. It is a whodunit kind of story. It's about a detective and his wife who solve murders. And it was just really fun. I really liked the back and forth, the chemistry between the husband and the wife character. And it raveled up into a really cool mystery that when it got unraveled was surprising and came out in like 1936. Really enjoyed it. And it's part of a series. There's like six of these movies. I've gone on to watch three of them and have enjoyed all of them thus far. The first one being my favorite. Some people say the second one after The Thin Man is what it's called ranks a little higher. Is very good. And the reason it's so good is because it is more. It's more of those characters that you really, like, discovered from the first one, right? And the mystery is also pretty good. And it features, I believe, the debut. Could be wrong. But it definitely features one of the Brothers Movie Factory's favorite actors, James Stewart, Jimmy Stewart himself, in that second one. He's also in a couple other highlighted movies throughout the 1930s, and there's many, but two of his big ones are like You Can't Take It With You, which, side little fact, I used to work in theater. I was a technical director, and we put on this show once, and I made a little cameo as a G-man on the stage, and we shot off live fireworks that has to do with the show. You Can't Take It With You, but Jimmy Stewart plays the love interest, the everyman kind of thing, as he was prominently known for throughout his career. He's also in Mr. Smith Goes to Washington. That's one of those Jimmy Stewart movies I haven't seen yet. I know it's a classic, and it, you know, at the Oscars was nominated for like every major award, including Best Actor. I just haven't seen it yet. I'm kind of savoring that one. I've seen almost all of his films, and I feel like that's like one of the better ones I haven't seen, you know? So I'm like kind of savoring it for the right time. Maybe we'll do it on the Brothers Movie Factory someday. Another one that is a debuting of an actor, I believe it's the debut of this actor. Could be wrong once again. At least the debut on the big screen. And that's John Wayne. Cowboy legend, right? Western legend. But Stagecoach, John Ford's Stagecoach, came out in 1939. Excellent, excellent movie. Has one of those like classic movie shots that you might have not have like known where it's from, but something similar or simple rather. It's just like kind of like a dolly in shot. It's John Wayne like twirling his rifle and like on the Western plains. It's a good shot, but it's a good movie. Definitely a thrilling Western with a, you guessed it, a really exciting stagecoach chase sequence in the finale. Definitely check it out, especially if you're a Western fan or curious about John Wayne movies. Of course, I mentioned it earlier, highest grossing film of all time when you consider inflation, when you factor in inflation. Gone with the Wind. This movie could be my greatest movie sin, maybe, and I call it that because I've never seen it. It's a classic movie, of course. One of the most beloved movies of all time, of course. Classic performances. It's like, quote-unquote, the Hollywood picture, you know, Gone with the Wind, the classic. I own it. I just never have gotten it up to watch a four-hour movie about the post-Civil War. You know, I don't know, something I just have never just made the time to sit down, and then I kind of forget to. Maybe I should, after all this time, do so, but yeah, it's on my list of movie sins, of just films I've never taken the time to watch that are beloved, or classics, or, you know, things like that. But one movie I have watched, and I know you've watched too, is The Wizard of Oz. Also came out in 1939. Now, The Wizard of Oz, I'm not going to get into too much, because on our next episode of the Brothers Movie Factory, as we're going through the gauntlet, is The Wizard of Oz. That is our 1930s film. So you'll hear all the factoids and the conversation between Ben and I regarding The Wizard of Oz. That episode's going to be a little different, interesting. We will see. We were kind of in a bit of a pinch when it came to recording, and our equipment wasn't, we'll just say, available. So we did record it on the old cell phone. So it might sound a little different, off perhaps, but still audible. It's all edible. It's all audible. But look forward to that conversation and additional factoids. But the one factoid I will say is The Wizard of Oz has this statistic of being the most watched movie of all time. And you'll hear why in our episode of the Brothers Movie Factory. But that's going to wrap it up for your little snippet of history from the 1930s. I'm sure I forgot some key stuff, but that's okay. Maybe I'll touch on it next time around, the gauntlet. But I hope you enjoyed. I hope you take some of that information, like I said, put it in your back pocket, pull it out whenever you need. Maybe you're in a conversation and you're talking about movies. Hey, I know a factoid from the 1930s. Or maybe you just don't do anything with it at all. But yeah, tune in to our gauntlet episodes as we're going through the history of cinema and movies from each decade. Like I mentioned, our 1930s episode will be The Wizard of Oz. And then after that, we'll be heading into the 40s. And we're jumping into some Alfred Hitchcock and a guy from the 1930s that I mentioned, Jimmy Stewart. Hey, it's a Jimmy Stewart movie. It's called Rope. So tune in for those. Hey, follow us on those social medias. We're on Facebook. We're on Instagram. We're on X, but I'm kind of fading away from X and going to Instagram. So tune in there, stay up to date. I like to make memes of what we're watching each and every episode and post links to Spotify and Audio Boom, which is our main audio hub. So until next time, this has been Gus and brothers.